It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. Pivot off the wall. Where you get the best sports talk and info in New York.
You lollygag the ball around the infield. You lollygag your way down to first. You lollygag in and out of the dugout. You know what that makes you, Larry?
Lollygag.
Lollygaggers. What's our record, Larry?
8-16.
8-16. How'd we ever win 8?
It's a miracle.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Sheeran.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. The Off the Wall podcast is brought to you by DirecTV. Don't just watch TV, DirecTV. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Chris Sheeran, Joe Auriemma, and our Nets insider, Al Iannazzone, kick off the program this week. Al, welcome.
Hey, guys.
Al, lots of Carmelo Anthony rumors swirling around. We talked about this on the pregame show earlier in the week before the Nets lost to the Suns. I just want to reiterate some of the points that we brought up during the pregame show. The Nets have put a lot of eggs in this Carmelo Anthony basket. I asked you that. I'm going to ask you again. What if this team does not get Carmelo Anthony? Where do they go from there?
Well, they're going to have to regroup and figure out who's going to be a part of the future. And you got to realize that a lot of these guys may not be a part of the future. I mean, I don't know how you keep Devin Harris around. Especially Devin Harris, after what, he's a veteran, he's a captain, and he's the one who's roped into this as much as anybody. But I give him all the credit in the world, because if you saw the way he played against the Suns, I mean, that was a truly professional effort by Devin Harris. So he played one of his better games. He tried to lead the Nets to victory. But in any event, I mean, they have to make changes. You know, that game shows you 10-28. You need to change the complexion. You need to change the roster. You need to change everything. So I think they have a lot of plans in place, but they really can't do anything until they finish off the Carmelo stuff.
Now, we talked about this too, but again, I'm going to bring it up. You alluded to the fact that if anything was going to happen with Carmelo, if you had a venture, I guess, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but would after the holiday be the time that something would go down?
I mean, that's a possibility. Who knows? Something could happen within the next 48 hours. Something, you just never know. It logistically, it makes it difficult for it to happen right now with the Nets playing, three games in four nights, especially when you're getting rid of eight guys. You're bringing in six guys. You have to have everybody pass physicals. You know, you're going to have to go out and sign some 10-day guys because you need eight guys minimum to play a game, and the Nets only have five healthy bodies right now.
Wow.
So it just doesn't make sense, but that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. I mean, if Denver finally agrees on a deal, the Nets are going to be all for it, because the whole mission this whole season has been about, yes, developing players and trying to get them in the right position, but it's really been about getting a superstar for the future, and that's Carmelo Anthony.
All right, let's move on from Carmelo. I know you really want to talk about him for the next 20 minutes, but we'll move on for now. Talk about the game against Phoenix, and Brook Lopez didn't really play a lot of the fourth quarter, didn't play a lot of the overtime, and was visibly upset on the bench. Now, I know the reason for that was that the Suns went small, so that Avery Johnson tried to match up and go small as well. But Brook was not a happy camper sitting on the bench last night.
No, you could tell that. And, look, we've said it over and over. I've said it on Yes. I've written about it. There's something not right with Brook Lopez. Everybody expected more from this guy. And there was another situation last night where, if you're taking Brook Lopez out of the game and you're playing Chris Humphreys and Derek Favors in place of him, that kind of tells me that Avery Johnson doesn't believe he's getting it done right now. And when you have a small lineup like that, yeah, it's going to be tougher for a seven-footer to, especially on the defensive end, do anything. But on the offensive end, he's got to muscle people around. He's got to get inside and make sure that, you know, he scores and he dominates. And he didn't do that, you know. I know he didn't get much of a chance, but he wasn't doing it in the first place. And that's something that's been, an ongoing thing with Brook Lopez. And it's something that obviously they need to address and continue to address because, as we've said over and over, he's the franchise right now. He's the cornerstone player. And if your cornerstone player is, you know, playing 30 seconds in the overtime, you know, what's that say about him? Not a lot right now.
Well, he said to our Jessica Taff in the postgame show that Chris Humphreys would have a better shot at guarding Channing Frye. I mean, I don't know if that's just saying the right thing. That might be true. But if the Suns are going small and you're trying to match up, I think you have one of your best players on the bench, and I don't see the logic in that at all.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to question Avery Johnson publicly.
Right.
He didn't do that last year with Kiki Vandeweghe, and, that's just not who Brook Lopez is. But if he's a competitor, it's bothering him. You know, there's no doubt about it. And, you got to see how we respond to him. It's not going to get any easier when he goes up against the Lakers and that front line. I mean, if he's not muscling guys who are smaller than him, what's he going to do against the Lakers? I don't know. But, you know, this is a time for Brook Lopez to really do something to show that, you know, he is a reason to be labeled franchise player, cornerstone center, all those things. So, it really is going to be interesting to see how he responds to this. We've seen some points this year where Avery Johnson had some negative things to say about Brook, and he responded. You know, now's definitely one of those times where he has to show his coach, you know, you got to keep me in the game.
I don't know if you're a big Star Trek fan, Al, but
I am not.
You're not. But in Star
I am not.
Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, Ricardo Montalban said, "Kirk, revenge is a dish best served cold." And I bring that up because LeBron James tweets about the Cavaliers getting destroyed by 55 points in L.A. And then his Heat, or as he calls them, which I think is the most ridiculous thing in the world, the Heatles, because of their rock and roll-like atmosphere down there in Miami, they get beat by the Clippers last night. I'm not even going to pose a question about LeBron. My question to you is, being a basketball guy, what are your thoughts on Blake Griffin? I mean, this kid is just amazing. In my eyes, stud. I think he's amazing.
Stud. There's no other word. Stud. This guy is a stud. Far and away, rookie of the year. You know, finally the Clippers have something good going for them. I mean, let's think about it. I think they could have gotten involved in the Carmelo talks if they were willing to give up Blake Griffin, and they said no. And, now you see why. You don't blame them. This guy is a stud. He's a double-double machine, and he's just going to keep getting better. And if you put better players around him, he's going to get better. Blake Griffin is, the next generation of superstar in the NBA. And I have to say one thing about LeBron. I actually like the Heatles. I thought that was pretty creative and pretty clever, but I understand if you don't.
Hey, Al, it's Joe Auriemma. How are you?
Hey, Joe.
Al, I actually want to go back to a little Carmelo talk right now. I know it's on the minds of every basketball fan out there. one thing that the Denver Nuggets said was that they don't like how public it's become. They've kind of warned the Nets, let's not make this a public affair that everybody knows every detail. And they threatened him kind of with, well, if you continue to do this, we might trade him to your rival, the Knicks. Is that just talk?
They want young guys, they want draft picks, and they want salary cap relief. And that's why this three-team trade with the Pistons that's been reported, it just works for everybody. I mean, I'm surprised at this point it hasn't gotten done, because it really just works for everybody, for what everyone wants. But I think the Knicks threat was a hollow threat, you know, just to scare the Nets. But at the same time, the Nets don't want any of this stuff out. They want Carmelo Anthony. That's it. And
right.
if you go back to September, when all this stuff came out, the Nets were furious. It didn't come from the Nets.
Right.
You know, people believe it came from agents or it came out of the Denver camp to say, you know, look at what's happening here. Do you guys, you know, can somebody offer more or show their fans, you know, look what we could give up for and look what we could get back for Carmelo and we're not doing it. You know, the Nets were furious that came out on the eve of training camp. I mean, they were answering questions. The Nets actually had media day that day, and Avery Johnson is standing there talking about Devin Harris and Derek Favors and how they're going to be such a huge part of this season and the future. And then as we're walking out of the building, reports are breaking that these guys are almost traded. I don't think that came from the Nets.
Now, my other question about the Nuggets end of things is, I know their GM is very young, their owner is very young. They aren't really experienced in making big time trades, and this is an absolute blockbuster, maybe the biggest blockbuster in a long time. But it seems like they're waffling a lot, and it also seems like whenever something seems to be done, they want to throw in an Al Harrington. You know, we need to dump Al Harrington's 4 years and $28 million remaining. What can you say about the Nuggets side of things?
Well, you know, I know people have criticized them for being inexperienced, and I think I have as well. Because when you get that close, and maybe it hasn't been as close as people say, but I do believe it's been close. When you get that close, you can't keep pulling back at the last second and saying, you know, I want a little more. But to their credit, they are trading a franchise player. They're trading one of the best players in their history. They're trading a guy who's, you know, bringing fans to the games right now. And you want to make sure you get everything you possibly can. So from that standpoint, you have to give them credit for handling it, you know, the right way business-wise. You know, if we're giving up Carmelo Anthony, we're going to get every last bit that we can get. Now, it comes a point where everybody says, well, when are the Nets just going to pull back and say enough is enough? Or if they wait too long, Denver's not going to get as much. You know, to me, that's all posturing, too. At the end of the day, the Nets want Carmelo Anthony, and they're going to do whatever it takes to make sure they are in position to get Carmelo Anthony. That doesn't mean they get him, but most of the scenarios that are on Masai Ujiri's desk and Josh Kroenke's desk, you know, the Nets are involved. I mean, I'm sure they're talking to the Rockets. I'm sure the Mavericks. I'm sure other teams have tried to get involved. But the Nets are the ones who've been the most aggressive and presented them with the most scenarios. I mean, look, something almost happened with a four-team trade.
Right.
Something almost happened with Cleveland. I know they've recruited Washington as a possible third team. Obviously, Detroit. You know, I've read Portland, Minnesota. I mean, the Nets are talking. There's so many scenarios that the Nets have presented them. So, you know, the Denver is just waiting out, seeing what the right thing is.
Now, one more question for me. At the end of the day, in your opinion, do you think this deal gets done? And do you think Carmelo signs the extension?
I really believe both to be true. I believe he will be traded. I believe the Nets have everything to offer that Denver wants. And I believe he's not walking away from $65 million. He's not Cliff Lee. I would be surprised if he does something like what Cliff Lee did with the Yankees. You know, we don't know what's going to happen next year. We don't know if there's going to be a season next year. We don't know what the salary structures are going to be. We don't know how the raises are going to be. We don't know anything. But if you get a contract now, you know, there may be a grandfather clause. So I would think, you know, Carmelo, I don't know him very well, but I do know $65 million is tough to walk away from.
Absolutely. I wouldn't walk away from it. Would you?
Not. I would go, let's see, who's the worst team in the league? Cleveland? I'd go to Cleveland for $65 million.
I would go to Cambodia for $65,000.
I'd go to Cambodia for $65,000.
All right, Al, you are off the hot seat. Thank you for coming on today. I know you were busy today. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Anytime.
Once again, that was Al Iannazzone of The Record and YesNetwork.com. And you could also follow Al on Twitter. His Twitter handle is at Al_Iannazzone. That's IANNAZZONE. Did I get it right?
Yeah.
I'm good. Thanks, Al. I appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
All right, bye.